listening to Get Sports Radio.
It is episode number 38, Monday Night Quarterback, Week 10 edition. I'm your host, Dan Klaskins, back with you here, and really appreciate you for checking out the podcast. If it's your first time, well, welcome. If you're a regular listener, we appreciate you so much as well. And for those of you that are catching it and aren't subscribing currently, be sure to subscribe to the podcast. There's a number of ways to get it, including Stitcher, SoundCloud, Google Play, and of course on iTunes. Please leave us your reviews there as well. We love to have those. I'm coming at you as I do most Monday nights. I've been doing it all season. This is just about shy of 8 o'clock Eastern before the kickoff of Monday Night Football. So we're sort of wrapping up the last little pieces of Week 10 here. Another crazy week. And we're going to also look ahead a little bit to Week 11. Talk about some of those injuries you need to be concerned about. And especially before we get out of here, we want to give you that early waiver wire advice. And just a couple more weeks that we're going to be doing podcasts twice a week. We'll do it through November and until we get into December. Once we get into December, we will be transitioning it to a weekly podcast the rest of the way and throughout the NFL playoffs. More details to come on that, but it's going to be Wednesday. I'm going to go from doing a Monday and Friday podcast as I have done all season. We'll wrap that up at the end of November, and we'll transition into, once we hit December, just Wednesday nights. I will be doing podcasts from that point forward through the Super Bowl. But GetSportsInfo.com. It's the place to go to get the podcast. If you're not subscribed, you can listen anytime, get all the history there. Check out our blog there as well. It's a lot of fantasy content there. We got our rankings, the Get Sports Info Cheat Sheet, free rankings, and it's 15th season. You get my office pool picks. Doing pretty well of late there. And, of course, be sure to check out James Rapine's Studs, Duds, and Sleepers. All the links to some of my other radio segments and different things. You can catch me at Pro Football Focus, too. That's where my exclusive written articles are for fantasy, as well as my rankings. They're there. And, of course, catch me Saturday mornings on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio with Fantastics Insider Football, Sirius 210 XM 87, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern, every single week. But with that, let's dive into what we're talking about here today. And let's wrap it up what was another crazy week of action, Week 10 in the books. Not a lot of things that we thought were going to go certain ways did. I mean, there were a lot of disappointments, a lot of surprising games, to say the least. And I think when you look back at this week, I mean, this will be a week where on some of your fantasy teams, they're probably starting to take a dive out of it. Because let's face it, if you are sitting in a scenario where you essentially have, three more weeks of your regular season here, this is the time now. I'll be honest, after week 10, I'm sitting on a lot of 5-5s out there. I've got a couple dud teams and my 13 season long teams. I mean, I certainly have a couple teams that have only mustered a few wins. I have an undefeated team still too, and it's pretty interesting because I was talking last night with my wife and it's like, man, 10-0 is pretty impressive in any league, but in a 16-team league, it's even more impressive. And since 1990, I'm pretty confident, at least in my internet days, so we'll go 99 on. Before that, it was by hand, but I'm pretty confident that I never went wire to wire without a loss in a season. So if you've done that, I'd love to hear about it. Hit me up on Twitter, at Dan Klaskins. I hope you follow me there as well. A lot of you just want to ask me fantasy questions, and I get to as many as I can there. Got to be honest, subscribers only get me on Sunday mornings those last couple hours because I've got to focus on them and helping them guide the playoffs. So if you need your questions answered, I do get to all of them at some point throughout the week, but don't wait till Sunday morning. If you want that type of wait around, subscribe. It's less than a buck a week, man. I'll set every question you have via email. My email coach, dozens of subscribers, most of them heading to the playoffs with my help. Let me help you as well. Check that out. GetSportsInfo.com on the fantasy tab. But, you know, this is the final week of bye week, so you got to prep that. There were originally six teams on bye, but the Hurricanes moved Miami and Tampa Bay from week 11 to week one bye. That leaves us Carolina, Indianapolis, the Jets, and San Francisco on byes this week. You have to think with the Niners, the Colts, and the Jets, this isn't going to be a huge bye week here. Sure, each team has a couple pieces out there, but for the most part now, 28 of the 32 NFL teams are gone, done, finished, see you later with the byes. And you know, now's the time to make those final tweaks to that roster. Get ready for that playoff run. Get ready for the playoffs. Start making some trades. This is the time now, bye weeks are over, you go and you get your handcuff. Why carry that running back that is your RB 5 or 6 that, yeah, he's all right, but go ahead and handcuff your superstar if that guy's out there, if it makes sense. Ask the Devontae Freeman owner if they would have had Tevin Coleman. That's not a great example because Coleman was a high-priced player in his own right. But nonetheless, bye weeks are pretty much wrapping up here, so let's take advantage, make those roster tweaks as necessary. This has been the season all around where it's like, I got to expect the unexpected, right? I mean, what a crazy season. I mean, the Los Angeles Rams are the epitome of what 2017 NFL has been about to me. You're talking about a team that a year ago was the league's lowest scoring team. Seriously, the lowest scoring team in the league. And now we sit here today and, you know, 296 points through nine games. Are you kidding me? The league's highest scoring team, they've won four in a row. They'll play the Vikings this week, a matchup of 7-2s. The Vikings are five-game winning streak. The Rams on a four-game winning streak. And then you got the 7-2 Saints. They're on a seven-game winning streak. They went back up to Buffalo and just smacked the Bills. Three teams that are Super Bowl contenders, and none of them have the best record in the NFC. That's the team that was on the bye this week in the Eagles, who've won seven straight. I'll tell you what, I have never looked more forward to an NFL playoff than we do now. And then, you know, you throw in a couple potential wildcard teams like Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Maybe it's Matthew Stafford and the Lions. Maybe, I don't know, the Falcons can get back in there. The Cowboys, if they get Zeke back for the ball. So the NFC is looking extremely fun. Meanwhile, over in the AFC, the Patriots, to me, they're still the class here. I did think earlier in the season the Chiefs were in that language, but I don't know. And these aren't as good as some of the Patriots teams we've seen, but they've won five straight. They're easily going to get the one seed. Steelers are also 7-2, but they barely beat the Colts yesterday. This is not a team I'm overly enamored with. I think they're pretty much overrated. They're going to put it on cruise control with a three-game lead now inside the AFC North. Jaguars, Titans are sitting at 6-3. They're both probably headed to the playoffs. The Chiefs are there too. The Bills, the Raiders, the Dolphins, what will they do tonight? The Ravens, I mean, those are pretty much the only other teams that can get into the picture. But who's taking out the Patriots? At the beginning of the season, I thought the Raiders might be able to do it, but they might not even make the playoffs. The Titans were a popular pick. I had them going to the AFC Championship game, losing to the Patriots, but I don't feel that strongly about them now. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to say the least. I'm looking forward to Thursday Night Football this week. Get a little preview of some of the Titans and some of these other teams we're talking about here. But let's turn our attention now into the injury report. Tell you what you need to know coming out of Week 10's Sunday action. And we'll start at the quarterback position. And we'll start with Phillip Rivers, who is reportedly now in the league's concussion protocol. It's unclear when he may have suffered that concussion against the Jags on Sunday and that overtime loss. So he wasn't even sacked, hit just one time, but he is in the league concussion protocol. And, it's reportedly his first concussion in his 13-year career, which is pretty amazing considering the position he plays. Devontae Freeman, speaking of concussions, he hasn't been ruled out just yet for next week's action, but he is also in the league's official concussion protocol, and that's problematic, being that he had a concussion this summer. So it's unlikely he's going to play in Week 11 against the Seahawks, according to ESPN's Adam Schefter. If he's out, Tevin Coleman, who ran for 83 yards and a touchdown against the Cowboys when Freeman was knocked out of the ball game, he becomes potentially a borderline RB1. Other running back injuries in Green Bay, let's go there and let's talk about Aaron Jones. Just a couple weeks ago, before Aaron Rodgers went down, this rookie looked like he could be the waiver wire pickup of the year. And now Rodgers gets hurt. It looked like a committee approach. And sure enough, now to add fuel to the fire and quickly pop his 2017 bubble, Schefter's reporting it's 3 to 6 weeks he's going to miss with an MCL injury. Ty Montgomery was also banged up in that game when his ribs issue flared back up. So his status for next week's up in the air at this point. couldn't lead to Jamal Williams being the only running back really getting that workload, regardless. Probably a guy you're going to look at on the waiver wire this week. We'll talk about that in a bit. Rob Kelly, he's out for multiple weeks. High ankle sprain and an MCL sprain he sustained against the Vikings in Week 10's loss. So that's not looking good. He's out indefinitely. We'll talk about what that means on the waiver wire report for the Redskins in just a moment. Allen Hurns, he's already been ruled out for the upcoming week with an ankle issue. So he suffered that in the game versus the Chargers, the overtime win there. So don't know how long he's going to be out, but we can go ahead and move on from him for week 11. Corey Coleman, meanwhile, for the Browns, he's coming back from a hand issue that's sidelined him most of the season. He's expected to return this week. I'll go ahead and grab him in 10 or 12 team leagues. I'm not going to start him, though. I'm going to let him play his way into my lineup. Greg Olsen, the Panthers are on a bye after tonight's game, the Monday night game. They'll be in a bye in week 11. Olsen is expected to return from his injury and be back in the mix in week 12. So you might want to get an early jump on the waiver wire if he's still out there and grab him now. And Delanie Walker, another injury popping up here for us late. He is dealing with a wrist injury. He is expected to play Thursday night against the Steelers. He was listed as limited on Monday's practice report. Coach Mike Mularkey did indicate that he is over his previous ankle injury, so that's a good thing. Three straight 60-yard-plus games for the veteran tight end makes him a viable option. Let's hand out some game balls before we get to that waiver wire look. We do it every week, recognizing the top performers in fantasy, and one that didn't go all so well with our Game Used Sock Award. But we'll start with the good, and we'll start at quarterback, and we'll start with Mr. Case Keenum. What a performance he turned in. Another great day, and Teddy Bridgewater coming back, and a lot of talk and story, and Case Keenum is fighting for his job. He's led the Vikings to five straight victories. He's completed 21 of 29 passes versus the Skins, 304 yards, four touchdowns. Was picked off twice, but pretty big day. And the game ball on the other side of that game, how about Kirk Cousins? I'll give him one, too. Didn't give him enough respect in my rankings in Week 10, but had to throw him in a couple lineups. It paid off for me. He rushed for two touchdowns, threw for another, 327 yards through the air for the Redskins signal caller. Let's move on to that running back position. And can we give it to somebody that's not on the Saints? I don't think so. The Saints, Mark Ingram, he gets the game ball of the week. Three touchdowns, 131 yards on 21 carries. Did not get a target, so didn't have a catch, but didn't need it. Didn't need it to finish as the RB1 in week number 10. DeMarco Murray's going to get a game ball as well. Three touchdowns for him. One as a reception, four catches for 30 yards to boot. 14 carries, just 42 yards, but two of those carries went into the end zone. Alvin Kamara, he's getting my game ball. I've got him in a lot of places, and he's saving my fantasy season. 12 carries, 106 yards, and a touchdown on the ground. Five catches on all five targets, 32 through the air. Let's go on and look at the wide receiver game balls for this week, folks. And we'll start with one Mr. Robert Woods. He gets a game ball. Eight catches, 171 yards, two touchdowns. I got to admit, this was one of those free agent moves that I was sort of like, why are they giving this guy all the money? Well, not asking myself that now. Adam Thielen, I'm giving him a game ball too. My favorite receiver, my most owned player in season-long leagues coming out of the draft. Had him on seven of my 13 season-long teams. I touted him as one of the best value picks all season, and he's living up to it. 12 targets, 8 catches, 166 yards, and a touchdown against the Vikings. And you look at him now, I mean, what a game he had there. He ran routes on 90% of the snaps, was garnered 39.3% of the team's target share, including two end zone targets, three deep ball targets. So I don't think there's a wide receiver right now in fantasy football with a higher weekly floor, at least in PPR leagues. Thielen now has at least five catches in every single game of 2017. And in nine games this year, he's finished as a wide receiver one four times, falling outside the top 40 just once. He's currently ranks inside the top six in the NFL in targets, receptions, and receiving yards. So love me some Adam Thielen. Let's go ahead and give out our tight end game ball. We give out one of those every week, too. And how about this one to Mr. Two-Time Touchdowns? We'll give it back to Thursday night's game. Six catches on nine targets for 27 yards and two touchdowns for one Mr. Jimmy Graham. Let's hand out that game you sock. Who really stunk it up this week? Man, Lots of players to choose from, but the one that hurt me the most in daily, at least, and probably the biggest industry disappointment of the week, Bilal Powell. 10 carries for just 30 yards. He was only targeted twice, one catch for 6 yards. The matchup was great. Forte was out, but just didn't come together for Powell. And, you know, with Forte sitting out on Sunday, many expected Powell to have that huge fantasy day, but it was really the rookie Elijah McGuire that sort of put a dent in that. He saw only 3 fewer snaps and had one more touch than the veteran. The rookie was also targeted 7 times in the passing game compared to just 2 targets for Powell. Forte appears to be looking at a multi-week absence. That makes McGuire an appealing waiver wire grab. And what a nice transition that is, because that's where we're going to finish this podcast up. A look ahead of that waiver wire, position by position. Let's start at the running back position we're talking about there. Elijah McGuire, yeah, we're going to pick him up. I think there's a bye next week, though, so he might not be my top waiver wire bid. And Forte looking to be out for some time. I think the rookie is worth a grab, but not my favorite running back play of the week. That actually goes out to Samaje Perine. And I think he's going to get the early down carries. Looks like Rob Kelly's out for at least a few weeks here. And Perine's developed slowly here as a rookie, but he's starting to show a little bit of what we saw with him in Oklahoma last year. I still think Chris Thompson's going to get his fair share and is the better fantasy play between the two. But I think Perine's going to have enough of a role to be RB3 worthy in the weeks ahead in fantasy football. Jamal Williams is a hot waiver wire name with Jones out 3 to 6 weeks. We got Montgomery's ribs questioning there, but I'm not overly enamored with Williams. I just don't think he's that talented. This is an offense that's struggling. It won yesterday, so Hundley's better than we've seen, but I don't have a lot of confidence in Jamal Williams, but some will pick him up. I went ahead and grabbed Austin Ekeler in some leagues just as a roll of the dice. I think his ceiling's probably pretty high for waiver wire pickups go this week and how that looks. He definitely is a guy that, you know, the 2 touchdowns, Melvin Gordon struggling a little bit. I'm not afraid to pick him up. I just don't know if I can start him. I need to see it. I do think more opportunities lie ahead. Rex Burkhead, a guy that I was talking up all season, finally getting healthy. The healthy scratch of Mike Gillisley last night is the death of him in fantasy, and I think it gives Burkhead enough of a value here. He's probably not available, but if he's still out there in some of your leagues, grab him up. If things go as I think they might, I still think he could be a top 15 running back if he gets ahead of Deion Lewis in this mix. And you know, he outsnapped Deion Lewis 36-21. So I think Burkhead's a versatile player, and I think Tom Brady's gaining some confidence in him. Let's quickly look at some quarterbacks. I mean, clearly Jared Goff was already snatched up, and I'm sure Tyrod Taylor, even though his disappointing performance, those are guys that maybe in shallow leagues are available. I still like them. Case Keenum, I mean, there's not a lot there. Eli Manning, if you're desperate. Really nothing at the quarterback position that's new, shiny, and pretty. Ryan Fitzpatrick won last week, but the stat line was pretty miserable, so not really feeling much at that position. Corey Davis remains the top waiver wire tight end, just 4 of 48, had that almost game-blowing fumble, which should have been a touchdown as he was reaching out. The fumble went out of the end zone. Of course, the Bengals bungled it and choked it, and it didn't matter, but Davis, if he's still out there, this guy continues to see more and more targets. I think he's only going to get better as the season finishes. Keeping my eyes as well on Chester Rogers. I mean, had that big game. I don't know. He's only a second-year player. Maybe his role grows. Not getting too crazy there. I think Cole Beasley, if he's still out there, is a guy that, you know, with Dez a little banged up, Witten, and, you know, with Ezekiel Elliott out, they're going to have to pass more. It didn't come to fruition against the Falcons, but I think it could soon. So let's finish up with some tight ends. I talked about Greg Olsen. Still think he's the best one out there. Excuse me. I still think Greg Olsen's the best one out there if available. Vern Davis, his time's running out. Maybe Jordan Reed's getting a little healthy. I don't know. There's not a lot out there at tight end. Garrett Celek came across last week. I'm not holding my breath for him, though, so it's going to be more of a matchup play there. Well, I'm fresh out of time, and as you can hear, I'm starting to get a little caught up with my allergies here, so I apologize for that. But nonetheless, we do what we do. We help you win. Be sure to follow me on Twitter, at Dan Claskins. Follow the podcast at GetSportsInfo.com. Check out the blog there as well. You'll want to also subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. Any reviews left between now and the end of the year you show me a screenshot on iTunes or on our Stitcher platform. Just a screenshot with the review. I'll give you the email service free the rest of the season. Just email me getsportsinfo@gmail.com. Until next time around, I'm Dan Claskins. I'll talk to you on the Fantasy Happy Hour coming up later this week. Enjoy the games and be sure to stay tuned. All the latest news, getsportsinfo.com. This has been the Get Sports Info Podcast.